9 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
A very good evening to you, and you're welcome to Behind the News. My name is Agatha Samoa, and tonight, from the Ordinary Doctorate Degree Awards, National Accreditation Board cautions private tertiary institutions. But is this warning coming a bit too late? Behind the News explores the issue of fake doctorate degrees being awarded all over the place. The difficulties in achieving the set targets in the UN's Millennium Development Goals, particularly Goal 4, some students of the University of Ghana Medical School takes up the challenge to help realize their dream. And fasten your seatbelt as we get ready to jet off from the Tamale International Airport. President Mahama gives the green light for expansion works on the Tamale Airport. Will this ease the pressure on Kotoka Airport in Accra, particularly for Hajj pilgrims from the north? Stay tuned for the next 1 hour as we bring you details of all these on our program tonight. You can also join the discussions via text on 0266-677570. 0266-677570. But first, Naomi Kwame is here with a summary of the day's news.
The Ministry of Energy says it is deploying 450 megawatts of power to augment the energy supply in the country. The Sector Minister Emmanuel Amakofibua said units of the Abuazi thermal plant are being rehabilitated. He made the comment when he took his turn at the Meet the Press series in Accra. 22 communities in Tamale South are to be connected to the national grid. The move is part of government's rural electrification project to connect about 1,000 rural communities across the country to electricity. President John Mahama announced this when he inspected some projects in the northern region. And military chiefs in West Africa are meeting in Accra to discuss security concerns in the sub-region, the Ebola disease threat, Boko Haram insurgency, the political situation in Mali and Guinea-Bissau, Al-Qaeda threat. Issues of piracy and maritime insecurity are high on the agenda.
Behind the News is also live on Radio Upper West 90.1 in Wa, Volta Star Radio 91.1 and 91.3 in Ho, Obonu FM 96.5 in Tema, Twin City Radio 94.7 in Sekendi, Takoradi, Garden City Radio 92.1 in Kumasi Radio Savannah, 91.2 in Tamale, and Yura Radio 89.7 in Bolgatanga. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana, Accra. Institutions of higher learning do confer honorary doctorate degrees on individuals who are deemed to have made significant contributions in their fields of endeavors. Society will always applaud such honors. In recent times, a number of Ghanaians have received honorary doctorate degrees, with people raising concerns about the institutions awarding the degree. The National Accreditation Board is sounding the alarm bells and has warned recipients of such degrees from institutions not accredited by the board to drop them and save their integrity. Why is the board now talking, and is the board's caution coming too late? We find some answers from the Executive Secretary of the National Accreditation Board, Kwame Date. Good evening, Senya. Welcome to the program.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
Well, why is the board now talking?
Well, we have always talked. I think so. That's why we are using your medium to put it across again.
Well, so talking about these qualifications or award of degrees, if that has always been the situation, don't you have the powers or the power to revoke all ordinary degrees awarded to individuals over the years?
If the institutions are based in Ghana, then it will be easier to do so. But some of them are coming from abroad, and they are not accredited in the jurisdictions from where they are coming from.
So your problem is with the foreign institutions conferring honorary doctorate degrees on individual Ghanaians?
Mainly, yes.
But can you tell us what qualifies an institution to award ordinary doctorate degree?
that institution must be recognized in the area of jurisdiction where it operates. That is, it must be accredited and it must be autonomous. That is, it must have powers to award its own qualifications.
Well, but for now, why the craze for institutions awarding the ordinary doctorate when you have not accredited them?
Well, it will be difficult for me. I think people crave for titles when they have not really earned it. I don't know why, but we have to ask them.
Now, again, for the avoidance of doubt, how many institutions in Ghana qualify to award ordinary doctorate?
Well, I think all the public universities qualify to do so. And also, there are three private institutions that have been granted presidential charter, and they also qualify to do so.
And which are these private institutions?
We have Ballyview University, we have Trinity Theological Seminary, and we have Akuti Christalla Memorial Research Center.
Well, so let's look at the foreign institutions that award ordinary doctorate degrees. Do they need your accreditation before they confer these degrees on Ghanaians or individuals?
On that score, the advice is rather on Ghanaian citizens to beware. They can find out the status of those foreign institutions from the National Accreditation Board.
Hello?
Hello?
You are saying they need to...
clarify the status of such institutions with the National Accreditation Board.
So for now, these people have been awarded these ordinary doctorate degrees. What do they need to do?
I will advise them to drop the titles because they are embarrassing themselves and exposing themselves to public ridicule.
You are saying that they should not use these titles at all?
No. If I were them, I wouldn't.
Well, now let's look at this text message from Johnson Amu Danko of Kukwentumi in the Eastern Region, and he says, I should ask if you would decline an ordinary doctorate degrees from any of these private institutions if you are invited.
That is, if I am invited to be conferred a degree on or something.
Yes, yes, yes.
I will certainly check to see if the institution has the power to do so. If it hasn't, I will never go.
But if it has the power to do so, then you definitely...
Well, what have I done to deserve a degree anyway? I will have to ask myself that question.
Well, but again, those who have also received these ordinary doctorate degrees, someone would also say that they have done something for society. That's why they are being honored.
Well, if you have done something for your society, should an institution from outside Ghana come and honor you? I would say that those institutions are just trying to find a way of making a presence in the country, and they want to come through the back door. How many cocoa farmers have been honored? Why do they identify prominent people in the society and decide to confer those honors on them?
Well, again, for instance, let me name some people. And Abraham Kumsi of the Ghana Federation of Labour was awarded by a private institution over the weekend, and the NADMO boss also.
Well, I would like to know which institution awarded them. And what I'm saying is that the status of that institution should be clarified with the National Accreditation Board.
Well, if the institution is clarified with the National Accreditation Board and is qualified to be accredited, then you have no problem at all with that.
Sure, yes.
All right, then we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Kwame Date is Executive Secretary of the National Accreditation Board, and let's also seek the views of a former Pro Vice Chancellor of the University of Ghana, Professor Kwesi Yanka, who is currently President, Central University College. Good evening, Prof, and you're welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Prof, if you could lower the volume on your radio. Yeah, yeah. Prof, you've had the occasion of presiding or observing the award of an ordinary doctorate degree. And what was the work that went into it, if you can share with us?
I don't know which honorary degree I had the honor of presiding over. But I know that the University of Ghana, when I was there, and since then, several years before that, I've been conferring degrees on distinguished public individuals. Let me also say that an honorary doctorate implies that the person being honored did not necessarily go through the normal processes for getting an academic degree, which consists of enrolling in a doctoral program and doing your relevant examinations and writing a thesis and being given a doctorate. That's a regular doctorate. If a university that is accredited and that is qualified to give an honorary degree is giving you an honorary degree, it means that even though you didn't go through the processes of getting an academic degree, which would have made you a doctor, your achievements within the public sphere could roughly be considered equivalent of what one would have achieved in getting the regular doctorate degree. Let me also say that this facility has been used to very good effect in the past. Osadifo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, his doctor, it's an honorary doctorate degree conferred on him by Lincoln University in USA. Even though he himself attempted to do a doctorate at University of Pennsylvania, which he did not finish, he earned the honorary doctorate given him by Lincoln University based on his political achievement. And nobody has even dared to question whether Kwame Nkrumah deserved an honorary doctorate degree. It was unquestionable, almost worldwide. But since then, several years after, the whole issue of doctorate and honorary doctorate has been diluted considerably for personal gains. People will do anything desirable to get an honorary doctorate, whether monetary enticements and or even when not given any honorary doctorate at all, they would arrogate to themselves the that honor, even if it has not been conferred. So this, unfortunately, the situation at the moment. But as the National Accreditation Board has, and the Executive Secretary has clearly pointed out, an organization that is giving an honorary doctorate degree on to somebody ought to be in a position to give a regular doctorate degree to begin with. If you are not in a position to give a regular doctorate degree, you have no business giving an honorary doctorate.
In that case, why would institutions want to award ordinary degrees when they are not accredited to do so?
Well, the staff of elevation, they're elevating themselves to that level. For the recipients, it elevates them in society. And because when you have a doctorate degree and you use it, nobody stops to question whether your doctorate is academic or honorary. They only want to hear in their ears that so-and-so is doctor, so-and-so. But under normal circumstances in other parts of the world, if your doctorate is an honorary one and properly and rightfully given to you by an accredited university, it would normally not be used as a prefix. They wouldn't say Dr. Kwesi Mensah. They would say Kwesi Mensah, and in brackets, say, hello?
Go ahead, Prof.
In brackets, say honoris causa. In other words, HC. And then they will use the abbreviation DLET, Doctor of Letters, indicating that since it's been used after the name, it clearly means that it's not the academic one. So that they would normally distinguish the academic one, which is used as a prefix, from the honorary one, which is normally used as a suffix, and they normally put that in brackets. But people would want to use it as a prefix, Dr. Kwesi Mensah, whether or not it was properly earned, and whether or not the institution that granted the honor qualifies to grant that honor.
Well, so, Prof, so those who are using as part of their names the ordinary doctorate degrees, are they violating any academic principle? Or?
Well, there's an accreditation body, and they have every right to pronounce on that. Then there are professional bodies. The vice chancellors of Ghana have every right to pronounce on it because they are heads of university or public universities. The Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is a collection of distinguished academics, they have a right to come out with guidelines, well-publicized guidelines, and they have every right to pronounce on individuals whose use of the title is inappropriate. There are so many such people. Once somebody has got a reverend, he has to add a doctor. People who have not been professors in any way call themselves Professor Emeritus. Professor Emeritus is normally given to a professor who has retired and is no longer teaching, but still has some time and energy to help his or her alma mater. So the alma mater says that, well, we know you have retired, but at the same time, you are working for us. You deserve the honor. You deserve the merit, emeritus, of being called professor, even though you have retired. But people call themselves professor emeritus when they were never professors in the first place. Nobody ever promoted them professor anywhere. People that I knew were senior lecturers when they retired. I knew were lecturers when they retired from the university. They call themselves honorary professor emeritus or emeriti, plural, giving the impression that they have elevated, you know, beyond what they really deserve. And it is rather unfortunate that this is happening in Ghana here and other places.
And, Prof, why has the academic world kept quiet over this issue all this while when they all know this is wrong?
No, the academic world has not kept quiet. Several years ago, I gave a very extensive lecture on the platform of the Ghana Academy of Arts and Sciences, I think 2010 or 2011 or thereabouts. And I know that an individual took a so-called professor to court 2 years or so ago, accusing him of using the title wrongly. That case went to court. You know, so people haven't kept quiet as such. That individual, I remember, I think it was Ed Febel, the editor, the lawyer, the editor of State Ghanaian Observer, the matter to court. So that people have expressed concern. But it is for the country to decide whether or not they will join the debate and dismiss or fail to call as doctor those who don't deserve to be called doctor. And just call them. Mr. is respectable enough. What is wrong with Mr.? And you attach to yourself the label doctor that you don't really deserve. I think it is morally wrong, it's ethically wrong, and it is for professional bodies to come out to set clear guidelines on how such titles should be used within their profession.
And, Prof, I'm sure you supervise a lot of doctorate degree students at the University of Ghana. I don't know about now, but looking at the work that goes into a proper PhD, do you think we are belittling the PhD degree by the way it is being shared all over the place?
It does lower the standards and the esteem than the PhD normally attracts. And to the point that if you have really sweated over this year to get your PhD, here comes somebody who is using it, has arrogated it himself or using it fraudulently, and the society does not stop to ask what is the difference between your doctorate and the other one being used. Ghana here, we don't even distinguish between the medical doctor from the academic doctor from the honorary doctor. They are all doctors as well. So, you know, so nobody stops to make those distinctions. And in these days of several churches that are healing, in miracle healing all over the place, I think it is an advantage if you are not just a reverend, but a reverend doctor. And the doctor there is interpreted to mean somebody who can heal. You know, a medical doctor. So nobody stops to ask whether the doctor you have appended to the reverend title is a medical doctor or academic doctor or an honorary doctor. In several cases, the doctor doesn't really exist. They are just arrogating it and have attached it to their reverend title to elevate their status within society.
So, Prof, briefly, how can the issue be tackled so that the value of the honorary doctorate degree is not undermined or devalued?
I'm looking forward to the day when an ordinary gentleman, listener, will just come and boldly say that, hey, Mr. So-and-so, the doctorate, the doctor title you use is fraudulent. Please drop it. Let's mount public pressure on such people to drop the false titles that they are using. Let's report them to the relevant professional bodies. Let the professional bodies come out openly to give guidelines in the press. But let's see, after saying all this, let me also say that sometimes the press men and women themselves wrongly associate individuals with those titles when the individuals do not themselves use the titles for themselves. That's happened so many times.
Prof, in other words, you are saying that the Ghanaian media is helping promoting the honorary degree wrong, the wrong
reason. Sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes they do it. Sometimes they make the mistake of thinking that everybody who has even been to the university attracts the title doctor. And so they use it for them, and the individuals don't come and correct them to say that, oh, I'm sorry, I'm humble, I'm a humble gentleman. I am not a doctor, thank you. But we continue to use it. But for those who have given themselves those titles, the press personality, press man, press woman, knowing that the person is falsely associating himself or herself with a title, to simply not call them reverend doctor or whatever if you know that they are not really a doctor,
right,
or if they are using it wrongly. Just use the correct title for them.
All right.
Let them protest.
Prof, we want to thank you very much for your time.
You are welcome.
Professor Kwesi Yanka is a former provincial of the University of Ghana and also president of Central University College. And we also have sociologist Professor Kojo Sena, a former head of the sociology department. What is in a title like honorary doctorate degree? Prof, good evening. You're welcome to the program.
Good evening. Good evening to your listeners.
Well, Prof, are you amused or sad about the increasing rate at which institutions are conferring honorary degree, doctorate degree these days?
Yes, the bottom line is that it appears everybody is chasing after higher laurels without perhaps working for these titles. In Ghana, everybody gives you that kind of respect. You know, as soon as you are referred to as a doctor, it may be a medical doctor, it may be a doctor from academia, or maybe a doctor conferred on you as an honorary degree. You know, but as soon as people call you doctor, then it means your ego, you know, has been raised. So everybody is hankering after a doctorate degree.
And what exactly is in a title like honorary doctorate degree?
Oh, what's in the title? That's what I said. It makes you, you know, feel important, you know, in community, in society. Oh, this is Dr. So-and-so coming. Oh, this, you are introducing somebody, and then you say, this is Dr. So-and-so, you know. Society thinks that, you know, by referring us, or by calling yourself a doctor, you have attained a certain degree of excellence, you know. But unfortunately, in our society, we do not check to find out whether the person got it from academia or just or the doctorate degree was conferred on him. Indeed, we have a joke that in a neighboring country, you can even buy a doctorate degree from the roadside.
Well, and again, Prof, there is a view out there that these institutions award ordinary doctorate degrees to gain legitimacy. What is the implication of that thinking?
Well, I think it is dangerous. First of all, the institution awarding the honorary degree is that institution, you know, mandated or accredited, you know, to offer or to award PhDs, is it? That's the first question we need to ask in the first place. But the point here, the point I'm stressing is that if we do not put in some measures, you know, we are soon coming to a point where, you know, doctorate degrees will be better.
Hello, Prof.
Yes.
Yeah, you said if that is not changed, what can happen? Because I lost the last part of your submission.
No, I'm saying that. What was your question? Sorry, what was your question?
Yeah, I was saying that there is a view out there that these institutions award ordinary doctorates to gain legitimacy. What is the implication of that thinking?
Well, the first question I will ask is, one, are these institutions accredited to award doctorate degrees? If they are not, then the accreditation board will have to come in and say, hello, stop it. You don't have that power. You know? So the first thing we must do is to ensure or to check, find out whether these institutions have the accreditation, you know, to do what they are doing. So it's not just a matter of conferring doctorate degrees in order to gain legitimacy. You must, first and foremost, be accredited to do that. But I don't know if these institutions you are talking about, you know, have the power to do what they are doing.
Well, again, Paul, but in what way has society helped in promoting the doctorate phenomenon?
What is what? Come again.
In what way has society helped in promoting the doctorate phenomenon?
Oh, well, as I said from the beginning, you know, people feel good when they are referred to as a doctor. Somebody goes to a training institution, maybe religious. You know, I'm talking especially in the realm of, religion. There are so many pastors who are parading around with doctorate degrees, and nobody is questioning
the source or the sources of these degrees. Somebody goes in for 6 months, 1 year training, and he comes back and he says he holds a doctorate degree. But in serious academic, in serious academia, this is not correct. You have to go through a period of training, a period of research. You have to produce a thesis. The thesis must be examined by external assessors, and you must subject yourself to Viva. And if you pass, then the doctorate degree is conferred on you.
Well, Prof, you mentioned some of these cases with reverend doctors these
yes,
days. And
yes.
We know that charismatic churches have bought into
exactly.
The doctor thing. But why do they like the title so much? Does it help in selling themselves and their churches?
Yeah, you said it already. It helps in selling themselves and their churches. You know, unfortunately, we do not have a system in Ghana where somebody can hold you accountable for what you call yourself. You know, so everybody goes around, or people come, get up, you know, the once upon a time, they, you know, start calling themselves doctors. Or people call them doctors instead of saying, look, I'm not a doctor. You know, they accept the reference, and then they go on, and over time, then they become doctors. So it is a way of selling the church. It's a way of selling themselves as well.
So should the craze continue? Can it discourage people from pursuing real academic doctorate degree programs because they may get honorary degrees?
You see, when you get an honorary degree, honorary doctorate degree, we don't call you a doctor. Honorary degrees are not added to names. If that were the case, our own Kofi Annan will call himself doctor, because so many institutions have, you know, conferred honorary doctorate degrees on him. But no, we call you doctor because you have gone through a period of research, a period of studies, the research, you have written theses, you have defended the theses, etc. An institution can confer on you an honorary doctorate degree based on what they think you have done. But that does not give you the license to call yourself a doctor. That is the difference. But unfortunately, as I'm saying, in our country, we have no rules and regulations, you know, regulating all these things. So people call themselves doctors, and they do not have the humility to say, no, indeed, I'm not a doctor. You know, so don't call me that. They accept the name, and they go on and on and on, and over time, the newspapers, you know, give them the hype, and the church members follow, and in the end, he's a doctor. We do not have any system in place to check this thing here.
But Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, we know, used the ordinary doctorate degree conferred on him.
Yes. Yes. Technically, he shouldn't have called himself Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. Technically, he shouldn't have. But then we began calling him doctor, and over time the doctor, you know, got stopped.
Well,
today he's Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. So we started doing the wrong thing from the beginning, and then, you know, it got stuck.
Well, from this text message from Jack says, I should ask, if you had your own way, would you cause the arrest of anybody who dubiously used a doctorate degree?
Well, if you want to enhance academia, if you want to enhance academic work, that is what we should be doing. That is what we should be doing. People who call themselves doctors and all that, you know, must be, you know, put to the test. You know, their degrees must be scrutinized to find out whether indeed they got it. But we don't do that. Because we do not have any law in this country that says if anybody calls himself a doctor, he should be arrested. So I cannot say that.
All right.
Yes, if we want to change the system, then we need such laws.
All right. Prof, we want to thank you very much for your time with us tonight.
Thank you very much, and good night, dear.
Professor Kuju Senai is a sociologist and a former head of the Sociology Department, University of Ghana. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. Now to our next story. traditional leaders, a concession of government officials and residents of the northern region converged on the tarmac of the Tamale Airport to witness a landmark event to make the airport an international one. This is one of the major infrastructure projects earmarked by the Mahama-led administration. When completed, it will be Ghana's second international airport. The choice of Tamale, according to the technocrats, is because it lies in the Sahelian region and therefore will make it easy to connect flights from countries in the Sam region to the Tamale Airport. Work on the first phase has already begun and will be completed by September next year at a cost of $100 million. The airport, when complete, will not only allow for wide-body aircraft to land and take off, but will handle international events like flights to the annual Hajj pilgrimage in Mecca. President John Mahama said it is government's plan to make Ghana an aviation hub for the South region, and all efforts will be geared towards accomplishing that dream.
The airport company currently has the following intentions: to upgrade the Tamale Airport to international status, and that is why we are here to commission phase one of the Tamale Airport upgrading, which would include the construction of a brand new runway 4,000 meters in length, able to take any large commercial aircraft as big as 747. It will also have a modern navigation system so that aircraft can land at all times of the year. Currently, during the Hamatan, when visibility is low, they fly you almost to Tamale, and because of visibility, turn around and say the plane can land, and then you are taken back to Accra. With the new navigation system, the airport will be open 365 days a year, and aircraft can land at any time. Also, in the evening, the airlines are hurrying to board you so that they take off because the runway lights are not functional. This will be a thing of the past. With the completion of this project, it will be possible for aircraft to visit Tamale, land and take off at night. The runway lights will be working.
President John Dramani Mahama. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana, Accra. Behind the News is also live on Ura Radio 89.7 in Bogatanga, Unique FM 101.1 in Sefioso, GBC Karti FM 95.5 in Kiti Karti, and Radio BAR 93.5 in Sinai. With less than 115 days to enter 2015, Ghana is still struggling to reduce child mortality, a major component of the 8 Millennium Development Goals. The UN has set next year as the deadline for the international community to achieve some 8 major goals to ensure sustainable development. Under Goal 4 of the Millennium Development Goals, countries are expected to reduce mortality rate among children under 5 by 2/3 in 2015. However, Ghana is said to be far away from achieving this target, even though some significant achievements have been made over the years. As of 2008, there were 82 deaths per 1,000 live births among children under 5 years. Mortality is said to be worse among newly born babies below 1 month. Students of the University of Ghana Medical School have therefore taken the initiative to help the nation address the challenges of children as it marks its 47th annual National Health Week under the theme, Save a Child, Save Our Future. Robert Ni Amakwensru is a health officer of the association and is joining us on the line. Robert, good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening, thank you.
But Robert, with just about 3.5 months to enter 2015, and we still have major challenges in reducing mortality of children under 5 years and neonatal deaths, what could be the reason?
I think you've given us quite enough information about child mortality. And then what I would like to add is that most of the children who die under 5 are almost always in the first 28 days of life. This is because of just a couple of reasons. One of the major reasons is that the mothers don't attend, or they don't give birth to their children under skilled birth attendants. And when you don't do that, the children that are born just like in the first fields of life, they have to be taken care of very, very properly. And when that doesn't happen, they tend to normally die due to infections because of the way or the environment in which they are brought into the world. So most of them die due to infections, asphyxia. When I say asphyxia, I mean the child is not breathing. And when these children are born at places where, like I can say, a proper hospital, you have trained health professionals who can take care of these children as and when any issue arises.
Well, you've mentioned infections and other neonatal conditions. How about culture and tradition of some Ghanaian pregnancy and childbirth?
Yeah. What I would like to add is that any pregnant lady out there, you should please visit the antenatal care. You should go there. When you go there, there are doctors there who are supposed to tell you they're supposed to guide you through your pregnancy to make sure that you're going to deliver a healthy child. And when you don't do that, you are at risk of giving birth to a stillborn or a children with deformities. And they might even give birth to a healthy baby boy or girl. After a few weeks of their life, they die because of proper healthcare, which is not available maybe at home or maybe in a church or something. And when you are at a properly trained facility, trained health professionals, they can take care of the baby as and when any issue arises, like infections. When I say asphyxia, I mean the child is not breathing. And then let's say when you are born, let's say at home, taking care of the umbilical cord becomes a problem because it becomes an easy way to transfer infection outside onto the baby. And the baby is just a day or some few days old. The immune system is not strong enough to go to fight off infection. And when this happens, you are putting your baby at risk of just leaving the world at that small or little age.
So, Robert, what has been the contribution of your association, and I mean the University of Ghana Medical Students Association, in helping the nation to address child mortality?
Okay. We have tackled this before. 3 years ago, our focus was on maternal and infant mortality. What we did was we went to, as part of our health week, we went to districts across the country to campaign massively on what the mothers, especially the pregnant women, can do to save their children. And this year is no different. We are going to the district again next week to campaign massively on child and infant mortality. What we want to do is that we are going to go there with flyers, enter some flyers. We are going to go to the district. We are going to tell them the importance of antenatal care, the importance of immunization of their children, the using of ORS, and a couple of other things that we think as medical students owe to our country, Ghana, to go and teach. To go and use the knowledge you've learned here for the betterment of the public out there who might not know this information.
Well, let's also talk about neonatal mortality, that is death among babies below 1 month, and
yes,
that is where we have the major challenge. How can we deal with it?
Okay, what I think as a country we can do with it is that our focus should be on the mother. Because in the first 28 days of life, it's just a child. Like I say, 28 days, first month, the mother is the one who is going to take care of the child. So when the mother in this state has the information to go to antenatal care and also to give birth to the child at skilled, like at a place where the attendants are probably trained, we can probably save that child. And also, there are places or in this country where there are no, I don't know what I know of, CHIPS compound. It's more of a facility where you have TBAs, traditional birth attendants, who can take care of the pregnant women when they come there. There's some districts in the country who don't have that. And we should also have a proper referral system, which is very effective. Because sometimes you go to a place where they're supposed to, let's say, go through your labor and then safely deliver the baby. I might be there and they'll tell you I should go somewhere else because you have to do a CS. And because of our poor road transport, even from that small place in your village, maybe a place in the town or something, that distance might even cause both the mother and the child to lose their lives. So I think that we should focus on massive public education of the mothers to go to appropriate places where they can receive proper health care for themselves and their children, and also provide avenues, proper hospitals who are adequately prepared to take care of these mothers and their babies when the need arises.
Well, you've talked about how mothers can help prevent these child mortalities, but how can health professionals also collaborate with the local communities and opinion leaders in the quest to educate the public on health issues?
Yeah, I like this very question. As part of our program this year, what we normally do is that when we go to the district, we collaborate with the opinion leaders in the district and also the district health directors. What we do is that when we go there for our 1 week program and we go and talk to the people, we talk to the opinion leaders to have let's say like a meeting where whatever we tell them, they just continue to tell them, because I think the people like to listen to the people they see like in authority, like their chiefs, as in the church, the pastor, in the Muslim community, the imams. So as we leave the place, they can propagate the message. More of like a community participation, kind of health promotion for the mothers.
So briefly, can you tell us some of the major activities earmarked for your 47th Annual National Health Week?
Okay, we do have a list of activities that we do. The first one is a health walk, which happened 6th of September last Saturday. And then we, on the 13th of September, which is this Saturday, we are going to have a free medical screening at Kanda. There's a school park beside NADMO. Then from 15th to 19th, we are going to have nationwide district tours to campaign massively on our topics, not also forgetting Ebola and cholera, since they are the reigning and national issues concerning health.
Robert, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight. Robert Ni Amakwensu is a health officer, the Ghana Medical Students Association. And Dr. Patrick Kuma Abuaje is the Reproductive Health Coordinator of the Ghana Health Service and is joining the discussions. Good evening, Doc, and welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good evening.
Well, Doc, reducing child mortality, the goal for the Millennium Development Goals, are we making any headway?
Yes, we are making headway. Maybe not as much as we hoped for, but in terms of the target of reducing mortality by 2/3, yes, that's we are not as close as we want. But they have made significant progress, because we started with MDG, the baseline of 155 per 100,000 live births. We are currently doing about 80 per 1,000 live births as of 2008-2011. But, you know, when you are measuring under 5 mortality, it is not just a 1 year thing. It's a cohort of children. And so we expect that as we found a major leap from 111 to 80 in 2008, we are expecting that by 2013, as the current DHS is going on, we would have made also enough strides to go way below the 80 mark. But the target actually about 40, 39 to 40, and then we're working very hard towards that.
And we seem to be having more challenges also in neonatal mortality, that is death among newly born babies. What could be the reason?
Well, I mean, we agree that the challenge of the newborn is the greatest, accounts for a significant proportion of that 40% of under 5 and about 2/3 of all the first under 1 death. The challenge is comes from the entire spectrum of the health of the mother. How is delivery conducted? Where are women delivering? As your previous discussion mentioned, where are they delivering? Under what conditions are these babies delivered? The immediate delivery care, how does it take place? How many women come for postnatal care? How does cultural practices and behavior affect the outcome of the newborn? So those are some of the broader challenges that we're dealing with, that is coming up with. And then we're also having conditions that also requires a lot more technology and a lot more sophistication to manage. And so they are also part, especially the preterm babies, etc. Even though there are easier ways of addressing some of the conditions using the kangaroo mother care. But there are other areas that we need more sophisticated things that may not be everywhere in the country. And so the newborn
Doc, what has been the intervention of the Ghana Health Service to addressing mortality of children under 5 years?
Well, children under 5 years, you know, there are the key killers are some of the vaccine preventable diseases like measles and other things. We also have malaria, which is a major killer. And so we have made a significant investment in vaccination. Currently, we have a very significant, over 83% coverage of children are vaccinated. And about over 70% of all children are fully vaccinated. So we come a long way in that way. Malaria is another area where we have made a lot of interventions, as you can see, with RDTs, treatment, change of treatment. What we call the case fatality rate, that's the number of children who die because of malaria, has significantly reduced. There are more children sleeping under mosquito nets now. And treatment coverage is also improving. So that is also accounting for the reduction in under five mortality. So those are some of the things. Of course, we are also engaging the community to improve health-seeking behavior. I mean, if your child has fever, you expect that within 48 hours you should have reached the facility. How many are doing that? What is the first point of care? How are people treated? These are all things we engage the mothers and the caregivers and the society a lot to also improve the demand, the health-seeking behavior. Another aspect that we are also working on as far as improving access, making sure that the community health nurses are in the chief compound, and so bringing care as close to the family as possible. That are some of the key intervention areas we are looking at.
Now, Doc, we are looking at hitting the target of 40 deaths per 1,000 live births to improve child mortality. How attainable is this target in the near future?
Well, I mean, I'm not a pessimist. I think a lot can change in a short time. We are making progress. When in under 5 mortality, what we saw in 2008, you know, see the same, a significant change in mortality in less than 5 years. So we are hoping that this current DHS will give us a way, because what we are seeing, some of the intermediary factors that show that care is improving is the things I've mentioned. The number of children sleeping under mosquito nets, the number of children seeking care within 48 hours, and the care scheme behavior, access to care, these are all factors that have significantly improved. And so with that, we expect that at this current study that is going on, we will know exactly where we are. We are expecting a decline in the infant under 5 and infant mortality. And hopefully we'll see how we edge towards
them.
But that is a combined effort, including exactly what the media is doing. I will also not just raise the challenge, but also use the opportunity to also educate the community on appropriate health-seeking behavior for ourselves and for our children.
All right. Doc, we want to thank you very much for your time with us. Dr. Patrick Kumar-Bwaji is a reproductive health coordinator of the Ghana Health Service and the communications manager of the Alliance for Reproductive Health Rights. Derek Adogla has joined us. Derek, good evening. You're welcome to the program.
Hello, good evening, and good evening to your cherished listeners.
Well, Derek, we are far away from achieving the goal for the MDGs. We have not been able to reduce child mortality among children under 5 years. But how can Ghana accelerate the efforts to reducing child mortality?
Well, I guess we'll just go straight to the point. One of the key things that we need to do is to expand universal coverage of quality care. Now, the Deputy Director of the Ghana Health Service just said, there are certain areas around the country that do not have basic services that a pregnant woman can access. So what we need to do is to extend these services to every nook and cranny in this country. It would amaze you to know that a lot of these deaths recorded in health facilities even happen in the urban centers, the big hospitals like Kolebu and Fonfonoji Teaching Hospital. And this, and the reason is because sometimes the complications get so far that the little CHIPS compounds and the health centers within these rural areas cannot handle the situation. And therefore, they have to drive all the way to Accra or all the way to Kumasi or even Tamale to get the kind of services they need. But if these services are sent to their doorstep, to the community, and every woman, every pregnant woman has access to it, the babies will survive. One other thing that I think people need to, I mean, the government and the allied health services, especially the Ghana Health Service, need to consider is a whole campaign on prematurity. If you take the issue about newborn or neonatal mortality, it constitutes nearly 75% of newborn death. And so we're talking about, for example, out of every three babies that are born, you know, maybe two, three will die because they were born prematurely. And so we need to tackle that issue from the base. Once you have provided health services, health officials to communities, you make sure that these health officials can tackle the basic issues such as prematurity. And these things encourage the women to go to the hospitals.
Well,
look, we had a project in Ofenso in the Ashanti region. A woman actually said that she would rather go to the traditional birth attendant because she's closer, she's used to someone like that, and she's more comfortable with that person. How do we change that mindset? If the person goes to the health center and what she needs she doesn't get for the first time, she will never go again. And so we've lost that battle from there.
And Derek, can you tell us some of the interventions also by your group to help address the challenges in child health?
Well, largely what we're doing is education. We understand and appreciate that women need information to be able to access the best services possible. So we are encouraging things that they can do. One of the things that I didn't talk about earlier is about breastfeeding. Common breastfeeding, you know, can save the life of a baby. What you need to do, we call it exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months. You make sure that you breastfeed the newborn for for 6 months and making sure that the baby is on your nipple as long as possible before you mix it up with anything. In fact, if it becomes necessary too, you go see your doctor, your pediatrician to ensure that, you know, the right directions are given to you. That is one of the education we do. Another thing is early initiation. So when the baby is born immediately, what can you do to ensure that the baby survives? It's making sure that within an hour, the baby is placed on your nipples to suck, or to suckle, if you like. And it is necessary because the warmth alone and the nutrition helps to sustain the baby going forward. So these are some of the things that we educate people about.
Right.
And one of the things also is on malaria, preventing malaria, preventing HIV, you know, mother-to-child transmission, how you to ensure that these things are prevented consistently.
Right.
To save these babies. So these are some of the things that we do in the community.
Derek, we want to thank you for your time with us.
Most
Derek Adogla is the Communications Manager of Alliance for Reproductive Health Rights. And when we wrap up for tonight's edition of the program, George Kwaku controlled the sounds, and my producers were Christopher Sidu, Edmund Tete Bright Agama, Phyllis Kofi, John Pobi, Celestina V, and Ejeni Mbwantin J. Naomi Komi read the summary.